did a permit for a while. When I did find out that, I called Scott, and he contacted that man, and they went. They applied for a permit. They were eventually denied. So now what happens if the neighbor across the street who lives in Kansas decides to do this, even though it's not permitted in R1? Who do I go to? Will planning and zoning take part in enforcing any of this?
So in instances in the past, and correct me if I'm wrong, Scott, we're complaint-driven. So whenever we do find out about something against any code, so not just nightly rental, but any code, Scott's, let planning and zoning know, and then he works with the prosecutor, and then it's up to the prosecutor if he decides if he wants to file some sort of charges against violating that code. Is that?
That's correct.
So there is a way forward. The complaint would go to planning and zoning. Planning and zoning would take that to the prosecutor. Prosecutor then decides, and that's with any case criminal, that's with any case code violation, that's with anything. The prosecutor decides if they actually move forward with going against that or not.
So Scott would not contact the owner?
He would first contact the owner.
If the owner ceased doing that, fine. If not, he would go to the prosecutor?
I have a meeting set up with the prosecutor this Friday. I got an email back from him. He wanted to meet Friday. Just exactly what you're talking about. We'll get a process. I'll go through the process how he wants it to be done. I assume it'll be a stop work order sent to them. If it doesn't stop, which we'll just have to look to see if it doesn't, then I'm assuming he's going to want to give them out before he prosecutes.
Of course.
So stop work order, and then whatever action that he's going to take and the information that I need to get him, we're going to talk about Friday.
Okay. Sounds good. But yep. I have a second concern, and that is we have local property management companies that work with people now who are renting without permits. Is there any consequence to those folks who have encouraged and basically led people to do things that are against the current situation, let alone when it's not at all available? Any comment there?
I don't know that there's any way we can do something to that entity if they're not the ones breaking the code.
They're the ones who advertise, book, and whatever.
I understand, but they're not the ones actually. It's probably a terrible example. If you're driving down the road and the passenger says, hey, why don't you speed and go around that guy, and you do it, the passenger's going to get in trouble, even though he encouraged it or she encouraged it.
Okay.
Like, it's probably a terrible example, but that's just what came to mind.
So you see no consequence for...
I don't see how we can.
Okay.
But we've not been asked that before, and we've not looked into it.
I think you need to go to the owner still, but let me comment to the complaint-driven. Many people complain to their neighbor, they complain, or they may call the sheriff, but they don't actually file a complaint. And if you call the sheriff, and if you don't want to fill out and file a complaint, they keep no record of it. They told me this, and there's a reason for it. So you have to actually file the complaint, and that if you file with the sheriff, Scott gets a copy of it. If you've had it, when I say file with the sheriff, that's if you've had something going on that night, right then, an act that's
right.
Then they called the sheriff. The sheriff will still not note it as a complaint unless you actually officially file the complaint for it get to Scott.
But in a normal circumstance, if it's not something that is, I don't know what, but just to prevent this from happening, Scott would be the contact person.
Yes.
Okay, great. That's all I want to
say. Or the planning and zoning department.
Yeah, planning and zoning.
Whatever.
And they'll get it to me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Scott, is there a number of complaints that you have to get? I've heard that. Is there a number of complaints that you have to receive on that property before you act?
Well, that's an existing conditional use permit to revoke that permit.
Okay.
So, again, I'm going to talk to the prosecutor Friday
okay.
to see the action that he wants to take.
Anyone else? Susan?
My name is Tom Bocco. I live at 331 Lemon Lane. Do you guys have the 60-plus letters of residential homeowners that are in favor of this change? Okay, great.
I think it was in your email. We tried to email all that. Yeah.
Scott, could you pull up that slide 12?
Is that this one that's blue? Is it that one?
Yes. Is that slide 11, please?
Got it.
This is, we had a nightly rental in our next door, and these are some of the problems that we had. They had a management company, but they, this particular situation, we had a group of foreign young men that came and rented the house. They had parties for 3 days, up all night. Could you go to slide 13, please? How about 14? Can you press on the one that's kind of blurry? That's a video. I don't know if it will play.
I don't think it'll play.
Okay. Anyway, it was just music that they played all night. They didn't even speak English, and it was very scary for the neighborhood. This is all the trash that was incurred. Slide 14, please. And this is just shows all the congestion of the cars from the party. 15, please. This location had a dock, and residential docks are not supposed to let anybody but the owner use it. And these were all from the nightly rentals. Slide 16, please. Again, it shows a boat in the dock and all the congestion. 18, please. Again, congestion in the driveway and boats, you know, in the dock. 20, please. This just shows that they had a boat parked in the street, and that was a very narrow street, and it congested the street. 21, please. Or 26, please. And then they had a group of young ladies staying. They're all swimming on the dock. And this is one of their obscene water toys they had on the back porch. The next door neighbor lady was going to have a birthday party for her grandson on her back porch and couldn't have the birthday party.
You said this is down Lemonwood?
Yes. On the Circle
That's
Drive.
That's no longer there now,
correct? It's no longer there, yeah.
And so to answer, just to make a point, that was one of the ones that we went through the process of, going through the prosecutor.
Yes.
And because that was a few years ago.
A few years ago. You guys did a great job stopping it, but it just shows the problem.
Yes. No, I agree.
Of nightly rentals.
I just want to make sure that wasn't another.
No, it isn't. Okay. Yeah, and thank you for everything you guys did to help us with this situation.
Are you saying that you're in favor of this amendment?
I'm in favor of this amendment. Yes, ma'am.
And maybe you just said this. Is there
That's what
against?
We need to know.
Yeah.
Is anybody against it?
Could everybody raise their hands in the audience that's in
favor
of it?
Against the amendment?
You better be real careful.
If anyone's against it, I think that would be.
Do we need to hear from? Does anybody else want to talk, knowing that there's nobody here against the amendment? Does anybody else still want to speak? Go ahead. I'm sorry, you may not have been done.
Yeah, let me read this real quick.
Well, I've interrupted some of his time.
No, that's fine. Anyway, this is my wife's statement. She's in full support of the change. Nightly rentals are businesses that ruin neighborhoods. We live in a neighborhood where everybody knows each other and watches out for each other. We had a nightly rental one time in that disrupted the entire neighborhood, and we worked to get it stopped. Owners that rent houses are to all sorts of unknown people who do not invest in the property like owners that live there. People who rent short-term do not treat the property or neighbors the same as people who live there long-term. My husband and I have come to many planning and zoning meetings in support of other neighbors and neighborhoods who has also had issues with nightly rentals wanting to spring up near them. We always heard the same BS at the meetings where people were applying to do the nightly rentals. The nightly rental management companies, realtors, some contractors, and people usually from out of town who want to make money off our neighborhoods are the ones pushing for these. They make up every story in the book why nightly rentals in our neighborhoods would be so wonderful. Many of the out-of-towners act like they just love our area so much that they really want to live here, but they just need to do these nightly rentals to supplement the mortgage payment and then until they can live in the house. I've heard realtors get up and tell how people that nightly rental are wonderful upscale families who would be an asset to our neighborhoods. And I've heard nightly rental management companies claim that they carefully vent and constantly check on nightly renters. I guess venting means their credit card works. And then saying that they check on these rentals and never get any complaints is untrue. If they don't get complaints, it would only be because everyone knows that nothing is done. By the time the neighbors have a complaint, the damage is already done. The people pushing for the nightly rentals would say whatever they have to further their profits for these rentals. The nightly rental management companies, realtors, and out-of-town people who don't live here are the ones who profit while residents of these neighborhoods lose. We are tired of having to deal with this and would like the country to put the rule in place once and for all. Please pass the zoning change to eliminate nightly rentals within our Signal family residence. Thank you guys for everything you do.
Thank you.
Susan.
Hello. My name is Susan Smith. I live at 151 North Tuscany. I live in what is called the Fieldstone Association, formerly known as Branson Creek. I had this long speech made up, but I'm not going to repeat it because everybody's touch base. I want to thank Mr. Worley, wherever he is. He summed it up magnificently. We need to protect our local population. There's just a couple of points I want a clarification on. Like I said, I live in Branson Creek, and we consist of R1, R2, and R3. And I see your proposal, you're only referring to R1. Why is R2 not included in that? We're no different.
I'm assuming, so the changes are made and then brought to us from planning and zoning?
Uh-huh.
That'd be a question for planning and zoning as to why they didn't include R2. So, when I say planning and zoning, the board.
That's okay. How the planning commission brought it through.
So what is the difference? I mean, so we can't vote on the R2 as well as the R1 today, even though they're basically the same? Our community is mixed with what you classify as an R2 and an R1. So you're going to be driving through all of these zones, but we're all the same. So why aren't we not included in that? I mean, it's residential. It's just we call it a villa, which the only thing separating two permanent people is a sheetrock, piece of sheetrock. So we basically are single family.
May I ask, did the planning and zoning, they made the rules, or did you bring them to them on R2?
This was by many conversations with them that they wanted to bring this before them, and they just mentioned R1. They didn't dive into R2, R3, A1. There was a little bit of talk about RR1, but it didn't move forward. The only one that they brought forward through their hearing process was R1.
So if planning and zoning,
if they
wanted to discuss it, they would bring it up.
Correct.
And you would have the open meeting. And
correct.
They would have to vote on it.
Yes.
And approve it and then bring it to us.
This is per the recommendation of the planning commission.
So just to kind of give a real quick history, not lesson, but history.
Okay.
Taney County never had planning and zoning at all.
Right.
And then they came out with what they called a performance-based.
Right.
And my understanding there was that performance-based was a good compromise between traditional and no zoning at all. Fast forward to a few years ago, we started recognizing, hey, we need to make some changes and stuff. We need to make sure we get ahead of some of these problems that could arise. So that's whenever the process was started to go from the performance-based to traditional-based.
Right, I remember.
So traditional is where you have R1, R2, and they're already there. And so anyways, all that being said, and I've talked to our attorney about this, because it's like, okay, why are we doing amendments, or why this, why that? And he essentially said we could have taken the time and have been extremely expensive, and we still would have missed things and done something that had, you know, maybe fewer changes, but still would have had changes. Or we can take from other entities that's already done a lot of these things, try to tailor fit it to Taney County, and then whenever changes arise and we see that there needs to be some amendments, then we can go ahead and go through the process of that. I say that because there's probably some more amendments that's going to be coming up. How many phone calls have you? Because I've gotten them. I always just tell them to call you. There's probably been three or four more little changes not doing with nightly rental, but doing with other things.